Costa looking to get cross side of Font. Lefondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, sponsored by Blue Cross Street Food. Coming to you live today from Reading Institution, the Allied Arms, and I have been joined by not one, but two EPR regulars. Matt Lansley, how are we?
Afternoon, Alex. It's nice having an actual in-person live one.
Yep, it's the first one for God knows how long, a long time. And also been joined by Dave over from the US and continued your unbeaten streak, Dave.
Yeah, don't get used to it, but yes, here I am. And echoing Lansley, very happy to be in person doing this.
Yeah, in person at Reading Institution. If you've never been to the Allied Arms, it is very much a old school English pub in Reading. I don't know how old it is, Dave.
I wish I knew.
Hundreds of years.
Oh, 1828.
1828. So yeah. What's that? Almost 50 years older than Reading FC itself. So yeah, one to check out if you've never been to Reading and you're a Reading fan, one to check out when you're here. But let's talk about the main reason that we are recording today: Reading versus Barnsley. Dave came into the game yesterday, starting 11. What were your thoughts on it? McIntyre was still at left back. We had Swift playing again from the start. Were you surprised that McIntyre was playing left back yesterday? Or were you expecting the same team given that we beat Blackburn the previous time out?
Yeah, I mean, they say you never change a winning team, and I'm generally in support of that. I think the one thing is when you have someone playing out of position, as McIntyre is, if Babarahman can make the bench, you would think, all right, try him from the off in at that left back position. But yeah, you can kind of see the mentality behind not changing a winning team.
Yeah. And Matt, Junior Hoylett missed out yesterday, and I think during the game we can probably say that that was a bit of a miss, not having Hoylett available on the bench, because he missed his connecting flight after playing for Canada during the World Cup qualifications. Not having Hoylett probably it's disappointing not to have him at least available, given that we've now lost Mate for the rest of the season, and it looks like Rinomota also now out for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, I think the loss of Mate definitely, because you've got that wide option, the pace, no one else really adds that, you know, and I think it we'll get onto it, but you know, it was a continuing factor yesterday. It was the pace down the left. We struggled down the left, having someone like Hoylett. I know he hasn't been his usual self the last few games, but you want a player like that on the bench, because if you can bring someone on with his quality,
it just gives you a bit of an option, right?
Exactly, 100%.
Yeah. However, the first chance of the game did come from the left-hand side, and it was from an Ajari ball into Lucas Schell. Dave, watching this at the game, I didn't think it was a penalty because we were obviously at the far end of the ground. Maybe I'm like blind, but it seems, having watched the highlights, sustainable penalty.
Yeah, at the time I didn't really get up in arms about it, because like you, I can't see that far in any kind of detail. But yeah, watching it back, I've seen the professional pundits, and they don't seem to think that it was a penalty, and I disagree. I think there's enough contact that he's gone down, as he should. And I think it probably should have been a penalty.
There's one thing about, though, Lucas Schell, I would say since he's come back from injury, he's gone down an awful lot. And I don't know about you two, but it feels like he, in the last, well, however long he's been out, or how long he's been back, it feels like he's struggled to, I guess, pick up a lot of these fouls, free kicks, penalties. He's not winning those anymore.
Yeah.
He's not winning the free kicks and penalties like he maybe was last season.
Yeah.
I think he's expecting a lot more fouls than he probably should get as well, because there's a lot of times when the ball's come up to him and we're looking for him to hold the ball up, and he's expecting fouls to be given, and he'll give up on things, swing his arms at the ref, and it's like, there's not going to be a foul there. Admittedly, the penalty yesterday, it should have been a penalty. I do think, I disagree with Clinton Morrison, what he said on Quest. I do think it was a penalty. You know, he gets taken out through the back, you know, I can't remember who the defender was, but it just comes straight through his heels. It's a penalty, you know. But I do kind of agree about the Zhao kind of since he's come back, because there's been a lot of times when you've looked and you've thought, he needs to be not trying more, but he needs to be stronger, make it look like it's more of a foul, because he seems to be giving up a bit easily on some of those.
I feel like it's a lot of the cliche, right? When you're at the top of the table pushing, you get the decision. Because they're like, wow, you know, this is a red hot team and he was trying to score and they just had to hack him down. And then when you're down at the bottom, they're like, you're just trying to get something from me. So I think it was a certain element of that yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. And the ball did drop back out to Ajaria. He's still got a good chance there, really, Ajaria. And it's a decent save from the keeper. I don't know if Ajaria should maybe do better with the chance, though, perhaps, because it's not... he's only, what, seven yards out? It's a tight angle, admittedly, but it's maybe he should do better with the rebound.
Yeah, I think he snatched at it a little bit. But yeah, I think he was in a position where you would have hoped... I mean, the keeper's not pulled off a world of a save. And you would have hoped for a little bit more from where he was, especially when there's a bit of chaos after the challenge and the appeal and everything else, like, maximise the benefit of that, I think.
And Reading being Reading, it didn't take very long for that quite good start to all come crumbling down around our ears in what was pretty much a must-not-lose game. Reading inevitably conceded first and conceded early, because that's what Reading of 2021-2022 tend to do. And Matt, the goal was... It's so frustrating watching it in the ground. A ball played kind of across from the Barnsley left-hand side, across to their right-hand side, played through the middle. Tom Holmes kind of steps up to comes out to try and make contact with the player who's making the pass, and he's dragged out of the defensive line. And then you see McIntyre, he's kind of not followed his man from the wing. And whilst it's a good finish, it just feels kind of like it just feels basics are lacking in the defending there.
Yeah, it's the basics lacking in the defending, and it's the structure of the team. We've spoken about this before, about having the two sitting midfielders, in this case Drinkwater and Lauren, sat in front of the defence, and you would have thought they should have been the ones that cut out that first pass that goes into the middle when they then spread it out to the wide where Morris is. You know, but instead it's Holmes that has to step out, he moves 5 yards away from the back defensive line, which then allows also a Barnsley player to run through the middle, and he could have had a tap in if it was crossed into him. You know, you just look at this, there's so many things that you look at and you think, that's wrong. And then you get to see the McIntyre defending, not closing down, not tight, barely even putting in a block. And I mean, he was very poor that first half, McIntyre.
Yeah. The first 20 minutes or so, McIntyre had what could only be described as pretty much a nightmare of an opening 20 minutes. Not only did the goal really go through him, but there was another occasion, maybe only a few minutes later, where Barnsley attacked. And the ball, it's one of the kind of the quintessential McIntyre at left back moments that we've seen, is the ball coming in between him and the centre back and a player running around the outside of him, and him getting caught out on it. And it was difficult to, I guess, complain too much that Reading were behind because of that defending, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately Reading didn't really create enough up until maybe half an hour in.
Yeah.
And then half an hour in, we finally started to look like we were creating chances. And the next chance that we had fell to John Swift, across Ajaria, who first half, the ball, when it was at Ajaria's feet, an awful lot, he was putting in some balls, but they were not particularly good quality.
Correct.
This was the first one of any real quality, and it's kind of bounced up to John Swift about 12 yards out, and he's spooned it up and over the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon he can do better here? It's a difficult chance.
It's a difficult chance, but it's John Swift, and it's John Swift this season. So for me, I was expecting at least to work the keeper, and he's spiraled it over the bar. I mean, it's not a simple chance that you would expect. 9 times out of 10, he would score, but Swifty's done some great stuff this season, so you would hope a little bit more. I think the biggest piece of this whole affair that bothered me was we repeatedly, throughout the first half and parts of the second half, seemed to have a game plan of long ball up to Ajari to knock it down and do something with it.
It did not work.
Yeah.
So much.
Didn't work. And we just kept persisting. There was no plan B after that. And I don't know where it came from. I haven't seen it before. I hope I don't see it again. It was ridiculous.
So the problem I have with this is that if you have a Mate on the right-hand side and you decide to smash it long up to Mate from your goal kick, I can kind of understand it because Mate is a very good header of the ball.
Yep.
Ajari is not Mate.
No.
So doing
I don't think he won
sense.
A single header last yesterday. It didn't make any sense.
No, it's a very odd kind of game plan. Obviously, they must have planned in training last week to target the Barnsley right back to do this because you're not going to aim every ball at Ajari otherwise. He did create that first chance, granted. The second chance that Reading created, again, we're only really discussing Reading chances here, Matt, because there was only Reading chances after the goal, pretty much. The second one that was created was a kind of long ball from Michael Morrison. And we've seen it happen a few times from Morrison, where he's able to pick out these, you know, 30-yard passes across field. But this one was basically straight down the middle.
Yeah, no, it was as brutal one, I think, as it can potentially get. You know, Sam Allardyce will be watching that thinking, that is just the most beautiful football he's ever seen. Smith makes a great run, though, I think, because he gets in beyond the defender really, really well, nice and strong, just a little stab. And it's one of those ways it's hard to get power on, though, because of the way he's literally just stabbed his foot at it, you know. Can he let it drop a bit more and try and volley it? I don't know, because the ball's probably a bit too far in front. But yeah, like we've seen it with Morrison, also seen it with Dan a few times when Scott Dan was back in the team.
And McIntyre is the same. McIntyre is one of those players who's able to kind of put the ball up over the top and ask someone to kind of chase down the channel for it.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, no, he does. I did try and do that a lot yesterday as well, McIntyre, to not much success, it has to be said.
Quite unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
And threw his arms up a few times with, why didn't you get that? It's like, well, actually, you didn't do that very well.
but yeah, it was... Apart from that, though, it was the last real chance of the half of that. It just petered out.
Yeah, I mean, Tomins found the ball in the area probably 6-7 minutes before half-time. And I feel like we're beginning to see the inconsistencies of Tomins the more we see of him, because I really like Tomins. The more I watch him, the more I enjoy him. His work rate and his effort is second to none. Yesterday on the field, start of the second half and we're behind, and I feel like I'm watching him and I feel like he's the one putting in the most effort on the field. He's the one with the work rate,
and most importantly, the entire frustration of the first half and parts of the second was we were backs to the Barnsley goal, passing it back to our back line. No one was receiving the ball and running towards the Barnsley goal except for Tomins.
I cannot describe the amount of times that McIntyre yesterday turned round and knocked the ball back 7 yards to Tom Holmes. It was incredibly infuriating. It was genuinely like torture watching that when we're 1-0 down.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to Tomins, the frustration with him is that whilst the effort and the work rate is there, he reminds me a little bit of Stephen Hunt back in the day, because the end product is not always there. Don't get me wrong, obviously the goal he's got at Bournemouth, fantastic, and he has got the quality there, but the consistency of that kind of end product and end ball, or, you know, finish, man, it's not always
there. And you can't, like you see his goal record in certain seasons before, we discussed it on the way home, you know, he's had, you know, 4 or 5 seasons where he's been looking at scoring, you know, 10, 15 goals in a season, 18 in one season. Like, you can see kind of why he's got that in the past, but it's for whatever reason, the last few seasons, especially right now at Reading, it's just not clicking. I mean, the chance yesterday at the end of the first half, it was a brilliant tackle from the Barnsley player. You can't take anything away from how he closed down and the way he came in and took the ball. Like, but you're just looking at it there and thinking, You've got to get a shot off. You know, you've got to. He often takes a bit too much time, and it's the same in the second half of the penalty appeal. We'll get onto. He almost is trying to do too much to get the ball in the net at the moment. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of those players. His touch takes him just a little too long to decide what he wants to do. It's kind of like watching Ajari, except in completely different scenario, if that makes sense. Ajari takes the time to decide what he wants to do, as does Tom Ince, but they do it in very different ways.
Yeah, the outcome's a little bit different.
Yes. Yeah. Half time, 1-0 to Barnsley, Dave. Is the panic there at that point? Reading are 2 points above the relegation zone. Playing okay. I think okay is maybe stretching it a little bit. We were playing not awfully, but ultimately really yesterday, the only thing that mattered was the result.
Yeah.
We were a little worried at halftime, 1-0 down.
We were, and I think the problem with it is not only were we then, as if results held 2 points above the relegation zone, in a must-win game against a team that... must not lose. There you go. My brain's been fried by the game yesterday. Must not lose. We've conceded after 5 minutes to an awful team. I can't stress this enough. Barnsley were terrible. They scored, decent finish, but their only chance, basically, in that whole first half. We had huffed and puffed and had no idea what to do with it. No real glimpse of us actually scoring. A couple of half-decent chances, but not ones where you're like, I can't believe that didn't go in. You're looking at that at half-time and you think, as the heavens opened and the conditions got worse, it's like, what are they going to do now? What's going to happen second half that they're going to turn that into something where we go on and turn this game around? It didn't look good, and I was pretty depressed, and not just because of the cold.
Honestly, it was miserable.
It was
half-time.
Miserable
rain, half-time. It was cold. The wind.
Yeah.
Reading were losing, and I was sitting there thinking, why do I bother supporting this team sometimes? Like, 1-0 down away in Yorkshire. It's freezing cold. It's raining.
Grim up north.
Yeah. And we're going to get relegated.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. The second half, let's be honest, the second half was all Reading, pretty much, Matt. It started off pretty quickly. And Reading basically had the pressure on, from the start.
From the outset. And it was almost... So I mentioned it to you as the players ran out. The players, they ran out, and it was quite an interesting way they ran out. Maybe I've not seen many times when they've come out after half-time, but all sprinted out to the pitch. It was almost like they wanted... They meant business when they came out. I've not really seen much of that before. I know you're not...
I'm saying this now. So the only reason I think they did this is because if you've never been to Oakwell, the tunnel is basically next to the away end at Oakwell. And I'm sure the only reason they've done it is because when they've come in at halftime, a lot of the Reading players have got an absolute barrel of abuse from very small section of the away end. Run out and try not to take any more abuse on the way out.
Possibly. But I mean, it seemed to gear things up for how it started in the second half, because it was, like I say, it was all Reading. I mean, Barnsley were 11 men behind the ball.
Yeah.
And I mean, looking at the way that their fans kind of reacted after the game, that's seemingly a recurring theme with them after taking the lead, but the way they started, chances started coming, and it was just one-way traffic.
Yeah, the first, not chance, but the first moment of that second half, Dave, was the moment when Tom Ince found himself in the box. And he kind of jinked past, two, three players?
Mm-hmm.
Before being fouled, I'll say fouled in inverted commas, because the referee ended up booking him for diving.
Yeah, it was frustrating, and I don't mind, I lost my voice because of what happened later in the game, but I was losing part of it from shouting in this incident. The decision not to give a penalty, fair enough. Wasn't Stonewall, wasn't clear cut. But he does get, hacked away at a little bit. He gets a little bit of contact here and there. He goes down. If you're going to say no penalty, fair enough. But to then book him for simulation, they were all over him. It was ridiculous.
It was more the two before it, wasn't it? It was kind of the two swipes at his legs, which they probably could have gone down for either of those two swipes, I think, because the way he jigs past, he almost does a foot-to-foot on each one.
Yeah.
on alternate feet each time. And he could have gone down both those times, but he doesn't. And then the third one, it's like I say, there is some contact there. It goes down a bit extravagantly, but is it a yellow card? Maybe I'm biased. I don't know, probably, but I don't think so.
I can't imagine so. We're not.
Biased. I don't think we're biased. Absolutely not. Fair, but we're very, very,
call it how we see it. Yeah.
Exactly. Very even on this podcast all the time. If I'm honest, Reading didn't create a whole ton of brilliant chances in the second half. There was a few good chances, but there was no clear cut where I thought Reading have got to score there. Reading should be 1-1 by this point.
It was very much the theme of the game, though, wasn't it? Because it was like the way we controlled it, like we say it was one-way traffic. It was more control of the game, I think, for Reading. Barnsley just were never really...
The whole game was played in Barnsley's half.
Yeah,
especially after half-time.
Unfortunately, not always in their box, though. That's the problem. A lot of times, we didn't seem to have a plan for how to break them down. And many times, my wife and I would stand next to each other or stood next to each other, and the comment was, it almost feels like they've got an extra player than we have. Because every time we tried to, like, Lucas Schwau had, like, three or four players on him every time he got the ball.
And it wasn't just on him. It was literally on his heels. It was on his feet. I mean, if ever you want to see how to effectively mark a player out of the game, credit to Barnsley, yesterday was a very good, very good view of it, because they did it very well.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the first, I again hesitate to call it a real chance, because... But it's fallen to Lucas Schwau 7 yards out or so after a drink water shot's kind of, blocked. It's fallen back out to Schwau, maybe 7 yards out or so. And you could see the frustration when this shot is blocked from some of the players, because it felt like, whatever they were trying wasn't really happening for them.
Yeah, it was one of those where, again, they were defending deep and they were getting them behind the ball. So even like a chance like that, where in some other games, maybe now Schwau's got a chance to have a crack, there's not only the goalkeeper, there's two or three players. And one of them, unsurprisingly, gets a block in. And, good defending, fair play. But it was very frustrating when we were chasing the game and desperate for a point at the very least.
Because it was almost like at that point, you were like, you start to think, if Zhao's not scoring, if we're not scoring there, if like when the ball has broken to us, if we're not scoring there, when is this going to come? Because it's already...
And this is of course, after the fact that we've had six corners, maybe, in the second half alone.
And that was a lot of corners.
And a lot of the corners had, not all of them, but I would say probably 80% of them, yes, they had pretty good delivery in the second half, especially into very dangerous areas. And it's just Reading couldn't find that...
One of them, the keepers come out and flapped at one, and we still didn't get anything off of that because we weren't expecting him to flap at it. And it's just, you start seeing a game unfold where the keeper's flapping at crosses, we're getting chances like 7-8 yards out and nothing's going in. You start thinking it's not your day.
But all of this pressure does finally kind of unleash with about, I think it's 81, 82 minutes in. Matt, I mean, talk us through the goal.
Oh, ecstasy. Swift picks it up very nicely. It's a nice little ball in from Swift, isn't it? Well, I say nice. I think he's actually scuffed it, hasn't he? Let's be honest.
Is he shooting?
Football poetry. Yeah.
But, I mean, the poetry comes then when Josh Lawrence does the lovely little dummy through the...
That is a really nice piece of play by Josh
Very,
Lawrence.
Very smart. It's
very smart.
And we should say as well, Josh Lawrence is where he is because Paul Ince finally made a substitution.
Yes, I forgot to mention this. Paul Ince's substitution.
Ajaria off and Tom Delibashiru on, which pushes Laurent higher.
And Swift out onto the left wing.
Swift out onto the left wing. And Morrow, he made a signal at one point after an earlier chance had gone that he was going to stay up. And so he's in the box, like, adding an extra player
as
well.
As soon as Delibashiru comes on for Ajaria, I'm thinking, Delibashiru is going to play on the left wing. Don't really see what this is going to change. But as soon as you make that change of formation, Barnsley didn't know how to deal with it at all.
They didn't. And Swift's ball in that you were talking about comes from the left wing position.
The right back for Barnsley just had no idea how to deal with Swift playing a little bit deeper, not playing up against the defender.
I think, and it has to be said, you haven't seen Swift out wide at all much. But
the only time I can remember is under Gomez. I think it was away against Hull very early on in the Gomez start of the season. Gomez. Yeah. And that's really one of the only times I can remember him playing like properly out wide.
Yeah.
But it was very effective.
It was very effective, and it worked. The chances came, and of course the goal came from it. And the dummy from Lauren, the little pass back from
Morrison.
Yeah. And
it's good vision by Morrison there.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, for a centre back, you might look at it and say it's a 2-3 yard pass, but I mean it's like the nice.
Easy to get wrong.
Yeah. I mean, because he's got a defender on his back as well. You know, it's just
he's got someone all over him.
Yeah, it's just the simple stuff. We always talk about the simple stuff that Reading are doing wrong, right? But Morrison, fair play to him at that point, does it right. And I mean, Lauren, he's not making any mistakes from there, is he?
And it was the best time to have the away section behind the goal.
Yeah,
because you could see it perfectly. You're like, oh my word, he's putting this away. You could just tell from where the keeper was.
Started to lay the ball off, you knew it was going in,
and he lashed it in. And you know, Josh Lawrence, that's now two games in a row where we desperately needed a goal, and he's come up trumped and he scored it.
And they've both been very different goals, right?
Yeah.
So the Blackburn goal, screamer.
Yeah,
and then
technique, vision, everything.
Yesterday, I wouldn't call it a tap in,
no,
but it is a goal from 5 yards out.
He could not think about it,
Lauren, but like it's a goal from
it's
five
a different
yards.
Type of goal, but again. He overthinks that. He panics about the situation. He passes that straight to the goalkeeper. He bent it round the keeper. It was very nice.
And
the
celebration.
I love
the
celebration.
The celebration.
Yeah, the celebration.
We're all smiling.
Yeah. Celebration.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you guys had someone came from two rows behind you, literally just beating himself over. Oh,
he disappeared. He went down five rows, went under a bunch of people. They tried to help him up, never saw him again.
Yeah,
it's
one of the first times I've seen someone really throw themselves, you know, 3, 4, 5 rows down. I've seen people, you know, fall off one row, maybe two rows. But yeah, three, four, five rows. I think he must have gone down 5 rows.
Imagine like crowd surfing at a gig. Except for instead of on the shoulders of people, just going like seat level. It was mental. It was really, really just great limbs. Everyone cheering, everyone shouting. My voice hasn't been the same since. We were all screaming.
Pyro going off. There was
pyro down the front.
Plenty of people down at the front when the goal went in, running down the stairs.
And
you see it on the highlights down the far left stairs, and you've got about almost probably like 50-100 people now down the front.
Yeah.
All the players celebrating in front of the fans as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic to see.
Which we
this
should
is,
mention the
yeah,
fans.
This is one
the,
thing
the
I would
turnout was outstanding.
Yeah,
I think
it was 1,600, or just under 1,600 in the end.
Yeah.
And the fans yesterday really turned up in numbers. And it has to be said, in volume as well.
Yeah,
a
little bit quiet after the goal, obvious reasons. But apart from that little lull after that, singing throughout, pretty rowdy. Yeah, sometimes we were angry, but a lot of noise and, you know, didn't hear a peep out of Barnsley the whole time.
The celebration in front of the away fans is one thing that I did want to mention, because you've got accusations this season from, you know, lots of people, lots of fans around the fact that we've got players who don't care, we've got players who aren't bothered, who don't want to be here. You know, whilst we didn't see 11 players all celebrating in front of the away end, a lot of them there, you can tell they care. You can tell they're putting effort in. It's not a case that they don't care. It's not a case that they're not putting effort in. Yeah, things have gone wrong this season. But, you know, I feel like it's not a case that they don't give a shit. It's more just that they're struggling, right?
Yeah, they're in a difficult situation. I think a nice little segue as well, like, I've not been Danny Drinkwater's biggest fan the time he's been here. First couple of games, he looked like pretty decent, and then he's just dropped off and done nothing. And we'll leave the what may or may not have happened at halftime to the side, because I don't know what really happened. I didn't see anything. But if you just look at his performance yesterday, Danny Drinkwater was phenomenal yesterday.
Probably one of his best games for Reading, I'd say.
I'd say his best.
The way he was picking up the ball, spreading the play. I mean, we talked about Tom Ince being one of the only people who was wanting to drive the ball forward. So was Danny Drinkwater, especially in the second half.
Yeah, and it's the fact that when he did make a mistake, it didn't drop his shoulders. And the first thing
he would
try and win the ball back straight.
And he often did.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The number of times where it looked like it's got away from him in your heart's in your mouth, and then he's like thrown himself in and got like a little toe on it or something. That's what I want to see from Danny Drinkwater.
Yeah. Well, I think we all know that he's not going to be here in, you know, 8 games, like next season.
Who knows where
it'll
be, the way Chelsea's going.
But as long as we kind of get those performances from him for the next six games, seven yep. games, then that's all we can that's really hope for now.
It's all we can hope for. It's all we want. You know, we just.
And I've got to say as well, the booing of Danny Drinkwater before the game when his name's read out over Hanoi. It's not needed.
Does like, nothing.
Stop it.
What's that going to be? He's in the team at that point.
He's in the team every week now anyway because Rinomoto's injured. Like,
yeah.
You know,
you just got back in. Like if you want to look back and talk about how crap he was after the season's over, have at it. I won't even defend him because he has been crap for a lot of it. But right now, you need him firing for you. Yeah.
And you need him playing like he did yesterday.
Yeah. Because he was up for it yesterday.
He was
the energy was there. The running all 90 minutes. Or 90 plus, whatever it was.
And it was about 90 plus when we had the one very, very close moment to being able to actually go on and get all 3 points. Because John Swift almost David claims all 3 points for Reading.
It was a lovely shot as well. It was one of those where after we scored, credit to the players, we pushed on to try and get the winner.
The noise when we got the ball, by the way, when we were going forwards after
yeah.
that.
Every time we got the ball, the noise was phenomenal. And then pushed on. John Swift gets it out again on that left wing position that he's now in. And he gets it, he beats his man, and he lashes a shot in that's going bottom corner. And again, the keeper's not pulled off a worldie, but he's pulled off a good save.
It's a very good save.
Very good save. Yeah, I'm not putting in worldie class. I'm sorry. I'm critical of keepers. But I will say, a good save. He gets down, he reads it well, and he pushes it around the post for a corner. But it was one of those moments where some games this season, a shot like that's going to end up in a goal. And I really thought after that, got a chance here that we might pull this off and get the all 3 points after essentially the prior 80 minutes being absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I think a lot of reaction afterwards was, why have we only turned up for 20 minutes? Why have we only played well for 20 minutes? When
yeah.
I don't really agree with that one personally. I think we didn't play well necessarily for the first 7 minutes, but did we play badly?
Probably
I mean,
not.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I feel like yesterday was just another game. Another game which is so similar to a lot of the games we've seen under Portland so far. Just before we move on to that topic, Matt, 6 minutes of injury time. We're sitting there at 90 minutes. I'm saying at 90 minutes, I'm like, 6 minutes of injury time, brilliant, we've got a chance to win it. 95 minutes and pretty much 40 seconds. Barnsley find the ball in the box, and I don't know who the player is, the Barnsley player who shoots across, and let's be honest, it's Niall's got no chance of saving this.
He's never saving it.
Never saving it.
And
he's 5 yards out, right?
There's no chance.
McIntyre somehow manages to block it. Does he know anything about it? Let's be honest, probably not.
To be fair to him, he's learned from the goal. What he should have done for the goal is what he did for that block. He got a lot tighter, threw his body in instead of turning his body away, and he's got there, and I think it's the inside of his thigh that he blocks it with and turns it out for a corner. Fair enough to him. That was a phenomenal block, and it preserves the point.
It was goal saving, you know.
Yeah.
It saves the point that, you know, and we've been critical this podcast, and his performance yesterday was pretty subpar. But that one block was always needed.
And we'll move very swiftly on because we've been told that they're closing in.
Without saying our welcome, they're not being rude.
And we'll move very swiftly on to a question that we asked on Twitter today. A, are we staying up? Very quick one, Matt. What's your percentage now? I know we've had this conversation, you've kind of been up and down with it.
Yeah, I'm still 60%.
That's not very confident.
It's not very confident, but there's a few reasons for that. It's like we've got four big bogey teams that come up. Stoke City, Sheffield United, Swansea, and Hull. I think I might put out a tweet. I think it's three wins in the last 10, 12 years against those four teams in about 50 games, you know, and that's four of seven games.
Filling me with confidence, Dave.
If we'd have won yesterday, I would have said 90%. We drew and we were crap for a lot of it. So I think I'm going to sit around the 70% mark, purely because Barnsley looked so woeful yesterday. Hopefully we can leave on that.
I think I'm going to go about 75-80. I'm relatively confident here. Confident. Second question was, if we do stay up, is Paul Ince the manager next season, and do you want him to be a manager next season?
I don't think he gets the long-term contract, and I wouldn't go for him, to be honest. I think there's better options out there now. I think we need to be long-term planning, and that's not really
him. Your opinion kind of backs up what most replies we had on Twitter was let's get a new manager in ASAP. Matt, are you a Paul Ince convert yet for next season?
I think if he keeps this up, I'm happy. I'm thankful for what he's done this season. But yeah, I think it all depends who you can get in. I mean, the conversation, I think, has already turned towards someone like Mark Warburton, who's reportedly at some of the recording this, you know, on the brink of being sacked. Do we get someone like that in? Also, can we get someone like that in? But yeah, I wouldn't really want to be lining up next year with Paul Ince in charge. Hopefully he does keep us up, and I think we'll be very thankful for that.
I think whoever comes in next year is going to find it very difficult, whether it's Paul Ince, whether it's Warburton, whether it's some random European person or American who's never managed in England. Whoever it is going to find it very difficult, because ultimately we're still going to have a very small squad and be relying on youth next season as well. We have another big game on Tuesday night. I want to say it's Tuesday night. Against Stoke City at home. Barnsley aren't playing in midweek because their game in hand is not until early May. So it's a big opportunity day for Reading to go 8 points clear.
Yeah, I really hope they seize that this time. You're not directly against the ones you're trying to get ahead of. Stoke, we haven't had a great set of results against them in recent years, but let's do something to put the fears to bed.
We don't have Liam Moore playing against us, but we also don't have Tom Ince, Matt, on Tuesday night. Who comes in place of Tom Ince?
Probably saying Hoylett, aren't you, really? You probably bring Hoylett in. Paul Ince might experiment from the start with Josh Laurent further up with Swift out wide. You know, you don't know yet 100%, but I mean, Stoke's one of those teams that we don't beat. I think, certainly in the last 10 years, we've not beaten them. You know, we're about 9-10 games we've not beaten them.
It's always 0-0 against Stoke, except for this season where it was 3-2. But every other year when we play Stoke, it's 0-0. So I've got my fingers crossed that at least we can get a goal this time against Stoke.
They've got nothing to play for, and it's these kind of games against Stokes, against the Cardiff, when you're down at the bottom, you're wanting to play these teams because they're not pushing for promotion, they're not relegation, you know, they're...
As the cliche goes, they're on the beach.
Yes.
Although it's April, relaxing. And if you're on the beach in this weather, I don't know what you're doing.
True.
We'll be back on Wednesday with a review of the Stoke game. Hopefully Reading have picked up 3 points and are 3 points closer to safety after a very, very big point away at Barnsley this weekend. Thank you for listening. Cheers, everybody.